So we have come to our last session in the subject of the Holy Spirit. We way back beginning on, we started looking at the very personality of the Holy Spirit. We looked at the deity of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit throughout different ages. Now in all those lessons, we had certain level of personal application that we all could learn. But majority of that is the truth of God's word concerning the Spirit of God. It is to be kept in your mind for understanding purpose. But today we have come to the culmination of that study. So far everything is done. I'm not saying it has no application, but you can probably build your knowledge about the Holy Spirit, which is very necessary, because there's a lot of confusion going on around about the Holy Spirit. It is good to know the truth, who he is and his work throughout the different ages. We looked at last week the work of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament church age. Now, today we are going into the most important part of our study. If I fail or if you fail, this 8 months that we spend, not continuously, will go into waste. It will be just simply a head knowledge, which will have no effect in our life. So we are going into look at the Holy Spirit and his work in the life of believers. So far we consider the deity of the Holy Spirit. We will not touch on any of them going back. Just a reminder, we did look at the personality of the Holy Spirit and some similes and symbols that will point your memory towards the Holy Spirit. And the last 2-3 weeks, we looked at the Holy Spirit working through the ages in the Old Testament, in the New Testament last week. And today we are coming to the work of the Holy Spirit in individual believers. That means you, that means me, that means every one of us. If we walk away with today, oh, I know about the Holy Spirit and do nothing about it, my today's lesson, I might as well wrap up and sit down. It is very important that we pay attention to this, make application in your heart and my heart as we go through these lessons. Spirit work in individual believer. John chapter 14 verse 17, we may have read this verse, but let me start there because it is very important. John 14, 17 we read, but the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The Lord made several truths in this one particular statement. First of all, he made sure that the world, meaning the unbelievers, will not know him. When I see the unbelievers and believers mixed together dancing and hallelujah, Holy Spirit, the scripture says they have no idea because the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with them. They don't know him. They cannot receive him because neither they see him nor understand him or even know him. So you and I, and then the Lord himself says, but you know him. My question is, do you know him? This morning I was walking in, I was talking to a brother, and he said, brother, Holy Spirit is the one personality out of the three Godhead, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, is the one who is mostly neglected and forgotten in the world, especially, I should say, in the assemblies. We take the extreme to the other end because of the wrong teaching and practice on the one side. We do not talk about it. We do not take the Spirit of God very seriously. The Lord says he is in you and he is with you, will be in you. He dwells in you. He also will be in you. So there are two aspects of that. The Spirit of God, the presence of the Spirit of God in you. And he is there to stay until the day that the Lord Jesus Christ comes, transforms you, either you are dead or alive at the time, take you back to heaven and present you to God the Father, his work will not be complete in you. So he is continuously dwelling in you and he is in you. There is nothing you can do to get the Holy Spirit out of your heart. We will come towards the end, what you can do to him, perhaps in our life, we'll come before we close there. We will not take dwell a lot of time. These are very familiar passages, but let's look at Romans 8:9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If needed, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. You are not in your flesh. We all live in our flesh, but indeed the Spirit of God dwells inside of that flesh. He dwells in us. The word dwell means not come and go. The dwell meaning it is continuous, ongoing presence and dwelling of the Holy Spirit. What is he doing in there? Have you ever asked that question? The Spirit of God is in you. What is the Spirit of God doing there for you? Well, we looked at what he is doing in the church, the world, the previous generation and the future generation also briefly looked at. But what is the Spirit of God doing in you today? 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, do you not know that you are the temple of God, very familiar passage, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? The word dwell is repeated in all three passages. He is here dwelling in you. In today's lesson, after we finish, my prayer to myself and prayer for all of you, that we take the Spirit of God seriously, because he is right there inside you. The Lord Jesus is not physically present here. He is there in heaven, watching over you as an advocate. He is on our behalf there, seated on the right hand of God, interceding for us. He is there. But he is not here at this time, physically speaking. But physically, the Spirit of God is here, and he is here in your heart. Please don't ever take. This whole week, I was convinced many times when I was going through these notes myself. We may have taken this study about 3 or 4 times over the 30 years of the assembly here. It is a good thing to be reminded over and over again, so that we know what the Lord is doing on our behalf. Now we come to what is the Spirit of God doing in there? The filling of the Holy Spirit is a fact, and it is in the scripture. I think it was Alexander Quirion or maybe another brother who was speaking here. Touched basis on the filling of the Holy Spirit, what does it mean? In Ephesians 5:18 we read, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. What happens if you are filled with wine or alcohol? Come on, this is a class, we can talk each other. What do you want to happen? You may not have the experience, I know. I hope not. But you know people who has been drunk, and you know what happens to them, right? Yes? They'll give you one, what happens to them? They are out of control. They can't walk straight. They can't see anything, hear anything. They can't do anything right. They are out of control. What is controlling them? The real person is not controlling them. It is the alcohol in them controlling them. The Spirit of God says, don't get to that stage which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, if you are filled with the Spirit, what's going to happen? Same effect. You know where you are going. You have the same effect. You have the sense of responsibility. You have sense of the area where you are. You have the sense of where you are going. It is the filling of the Holy Spirit gives you a good direction in your life when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. The brother who spoke last time, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, that does not mean that you are filling with like water. The presence of the Holy Spirit, because he is a person, he is there 100% completely in your heart. You don't have a little bit of the Holy Spirit today and a little bit more tomorrow or a little more next week. That is not what it means. Because the reason for the initial study is Holy Spirit is a person. If he is there or he is not there, you can't have half of Holy Spirit in any place. You cannot just say George P. John is here a little bit today and next week he'll be back a little bit more. If I am here, I am here in full person. So the Holy Spirit dwells in your heart in full person, full personality, full power, full deity. Is you don't have a little bit Holy Spirit today, as many teach today. So make sure that we understand very, very clearly. He is there fully in your heart. I'm going to take Johnson as an example. Johnson comes to my home. I don't know how many bedroom we have. 4 bedroom, I think. And he comes to the living room. He has no clue what is going on in the other 4 bedrooms. He comes to the living room, sits there, enjoy fellowship, and he go home. Is Johnson filled in my home? No. But if I give him the key, or not, it's not locked, but he give him the access to all the 4 rooms of the house, and he has the freedom to go anywhere and see what is going on there. He has the full access, then I can somewhat say Johnson is full of my house or filled in my house. You understand the point what I'm trying to make. If the Spirit of God is filled in your heart, he should have the full control or at least the access of every pocket of your heart and your life in your life. Problem with myself and many of us is that we shut some of the area locked he cannot go there. Then we cannot say his Spirit of God is filled in that house or heart. I'm very sure you understand very simple explanation of filling of the Holy Spirit. Don't get confused with it. It is not more you get the Holy Spirit, because you already have, because he is a full personality. It is of more that he gets your life as we walk with him. Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. What happened? They spoke the word of God with boldness. If you want to speak the word of God, if you want to give a testimony of the gospel of salvation, if you want to talk to somebody, you need the filling of the Holy Spirit. Then you will get the boldness that you can speak the word of God. That is another effect of the filling of the Holy Spirit. These are very simple, straightforward explanations. I'm sure you will understand very clearly. Now, what else he should do? Acts 1:8, we read like this, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. He gives power to serve him. In this particular case, it was preaching of the gospel. If you are serving the Lord, either here in the assembly or here, somewhere else, or in the mission field, or in another place that you are called to, if you are serving the Lord, you need the empowerment of the Spirit of God. Otherwise, it will be simply beating the drum with no use. We need the Spirit of God and his empowerment in our service. Then he also gives, I don't know about you, there are some time in my past, not past life in the past, I had doubted, see, am I really saved? Sometimes I sin, that question comes to my mind and say, am I really saved? That question comes to every one of us, I hope so. So at some point it will come. But the Holy Spirit who is indwelling in us, deep in our heart, Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. There are two spirits here. One is the Holy Spirit indwelling in us, and we have our own spirit, and it bears witness one another. It talks to one another that we are the children of God. This is one of the most difficult problem that many people face. If you ask them, are you saved? They are kind of, I don't know, I think so, maybe so, I raised my hand a long time ago, something like that. They are not sure. But if you are truly saved, the Holy Spirit in your heart will bear witness to your spirit and give the understanding and the strength that you are truly saved. Your 1 John 3:24 says like this, and by this we know, by what? That he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. You put that statement in the opposite direction. If the Spirit of God is not in you, you are not saved, period. There is no day that in your life after salvation you don't have the Spirit. By this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. So it is very important that we know the assurance of salvation and the very presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us is unquestionable in our minds, and we should never question that. That brings more responsibility, as we will be looking at a few more things here. Now, not only he empowers each individual to give the gospel, go preach the gospel, go to give testimony, give a gospel tract, say something about the Lord, teach from the pulpit here, teach Sunday school as many are doing right now, or whatever the ministry that you do, or you coming here on a Thursday and sweeping the floor here, whatever you do, the Spirit of God empowers and gives you the guidance to do it. Now he goes on to the next most important part of it. All of us would love to study scriptures. All of us would, we should. It is not for a few men. It is not for men only. It is not for older women or older men. It is for every one of them, young men, older men, brothers and sisters in Christ. If you are a child of God, we should have a desire to learn the word of God. And the best person to go to is not the library, it is not the commentary, it is not the people's writings about books or the Bible. Take the Bible, go to the teacher who is the Holy Spirit. I refer to these things. I'm not saying don't do it. There are people who will teach commentaries are sin. I don't go that far. You can use commentaries, you can use help of other people, but don't replace that with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God can teach you, for the Holy, verse Luke 12:12 says, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that hour what you ought to say. There are sometimes you may not know what to do or what to say in your life. It's not only simply teaching time, it is in any time of your life. You are at question, Lord, what do I do at this point of time? You may not know. Trust me, if you reach out to the Spirit of God who is in you, he will help you with that decision. But it has to be very clear to you. In John 14:26, we read again, but the Helper, now the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all things that I said to you. John says, if I write everything that the Lord Jesus did, the book will not contain in this world alone, he thinks. Because the Lord Jesus has said so much. Not everything is 100% is recorded, but he has recorded everything that is necessary for you and for me to understand and live a godly life. Enough is given. So he says he will lead you and teach you all things and bring into memory the things that I said, which you may have forgotten. Sometimes, you know, I am probably the most forgetful person in this congregation here. But the Lord brings things that into your memory when you sit before the Lord, giving the access of the Holy Spirit to speak to you, teach you with the Word of God, he will do it for you. 1 Corinthians 2:13. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with the spiritual things. Now pay attention to this verse here. Not like the man's wisdom. There is plenty of those around. There is a lot of books, volumes, millions of volumes written in this earth by men, what they think. Some of them may be good, some of them may not be good. Few years ago, I was talking to a sister about family life. She said, I have this book that I am following. I never read that book, but I understand from the book. It is not what the scripture says. It is somebody's man's wisdom about marriage life. If you follow that kind of stuff, I guarantee you will end up at the wrong place in your marriage life. Take note, Simon. And bring you into all things. Sorry, I didn't mean to pinpoint you, but that is true for all of us. That's true for all of us. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom. Again, I'm not condemning man's wisdom. Okay, there are men who can help you, guide you, pray with you, counsel you with your marriage life or anything else in your life. But nothing should replace this and the Spirit of God in you. Everything else should be secondary. So comparing is very important words right there. Not which the man's wisdom, but the Holy Spirit, when he teaches, he is comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. I don't have the wisdom enough to explain that. You understand what that verse means. Let's move forward. Control. He also, not only these spiritual aspect of our life, but he also has interest in your personal life. In Acts 10, 19 and 20, while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, now Spirit of God is talking now, arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. He controls the movements of God's people. If you allow him to, he will take you where he, if you want to go somewhere, ask the Spirit of God, please be with me, guide me, help me. And if he doesn't guide you, don't go. You will be in the wrong place. So, he controls the movements of a believer. I know I am going a little fast here, but if any of you care to know, I am more than happy to share my notes. You can go back and look again. He calls people for mission. I cannot just one day get up and say, okay, I'm going to the mission field. Did the Lord called you? Did the Spirit of God guide you, helped you, called you to the mission which we are about to thinking? I'm not saying don't go, but the Spirit of God must make it very clear. Acts 13:2 says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now Spirit of God speaking again. He speaks when it comes to physical things. He speaks in the heart, to your heart, to your soul, through the word, on the spiritual matters, but as far as the movements of your life or decisions of your life, here is both cases it says he speaks. Meaning you should be able to hear that speaking. And said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Assemblies over the years have understood and prayed with and encouraged and commended Lord's people to go into far off countries or serve within the local body, commended workers. These are the work people whom the Lord spoke to them. All the elders do is to recognize that speaking of the Holy Spirit to them and identify that and take action based on that. He said, now separate. Who is going to separate? Spirit of God is not saying, okay, I understand, the separate for Barnabas and Saul, I will do the separation. No. The separation part was the assembly that was in, I believe, in Antioch, that is for them to do the separation, which is still happening in the churches today. The Spirit of God talks to people, calls them for mission, full-time service, and the Lord's work. And the elders, if they are spiritually minded and listening to the Spirit of God, they will have no problem understanding the call of God in their life. Now, where do they go? If the Lord calls somebody for mission, and now Paul and Barnabas in this situation, they said, separate them. Okay, we separated them. What do they do now? In 16:6, we read, now they had to go on through Phrygia and the region of Galatia. They were forbidden by the Spirit, Holy Spirit, to preach the word in Asia. What? The Spirit of God controls, if you allow him, in every step of life. At some point, the Spirit of God said to Paul, don't go to Asia today. Don't go to Asia. He can argue, hey, I'm going to go preach the gospel. No matter what the Spirit of God says, I'm going to go. No. He has full control of calling for mission and also the field of operation in every child of God. He does more than that. He ordains elders and overseers. It is not the elders who ordains other elders. It is not the elders who ordains other deacons. It is the Spirit of God. What happens is simply the Spirit of God calls and convicts a brother to serve as an elder or a deacon. If the elders are spiritually minded and listening to the Spirit of God, together as a company of overseers, they will have no problem understanding that call of that person to serve the Lord as deacons and elders. We have seen that number of times happening here at the chapel. We did not call any one of them. God called them, we identified them, presented it to the body of Christ. Together we recognized their call and commended them to the work of God. It helps in our prayer. He helps in our prayer. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray. Do we feel that? I feel that very often. Lord, I don't know what really to pray. Well, don't be helpless. You have help available. Go to the Spirit of God. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought to pray, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us. Sometimes we wanted to pray some things and few things skip my mind. I say Amen at the end. Then I will think, oh, I did not pray for Philippos uncle, or I did not pray for this brother. The Spirit of God makes the intercession for you and me on our behalf. What has been in our mind, He takes that to the Lord. It is not always the words that matters. It is what is in your heart that you are praying for. Let's move fast here. There are a few things that Scripture tells us not to do about Holy Spirit. Isaiah 63:10, but they rebelled and grieved His Holy Spirit. Some of us are experts on this. Rebelling and grieving the Holy Spirit. Sin against the Holy Spirit. Matthew 12:31. Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven. Every sin and blasphemy comes out of your heart and my heart will be forgiven. What is the unforgiven sin? But the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven them, says the Scripture. I don't think the Spirit of God can make it any clearer than that. People argue about sin. No. If I say I'm not approving what I am going to about to say, people will say, oh, they are divorced. They will not, God will not forgive them. No. If they are convinced, if they are reaching out to the Lord and pray, the Lord will forgive them. I'm not suggesting we should or should not do it, but I'm giving you an example. There is nothing under heaven that cannot be forgiven except the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. If you say, okay, this sin and this sin and this sin is not forgivable, that means the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, what He did is incomplete. That means, oh, certainly He can only forgive certain sins. I would say, based on these words, every sin will be forgiven. But you have to go ask for forgiveness. But the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. We cannot lie to the Holy Spirit. Acts 5:3. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? I am expert on this. You know the incident there, right? They were told to go sell everything and bring the money, and they hide some things. Don't hide money from the Lord. He knows. Seriously. We can sin against and we can lie to the Holy Spirit, and He is right there in you. Now in Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you are sealed. The sealing of the Holy Spirit is done when you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and the body of Christ was empowered, indwelt. But you become a part of that body of Christ. Individually, He comes into your heart and seals your heart, showing that you belong to God. Seal is normally is a sign of ownership. ஸோ ஹீ இஸ் அவர் ஹீ சீல்டு வித் த ஹோலி ஸ்பிரிட். ஐ ஹாவ் மேபி 31 minutes ஹியர் லெஃப்ட். நவ் இஃப் யூ அடோன் நோ இஃப் யூ ஆர் ஹவ் லாங் யூ பீன் ஹியர் அட் தி ELBC, யூ மே ஆர் மே நாட் ஹாவ் பெர்ஹாப்ஸ் ஹேட் அ காப்பி ஆஃப் தி ஃபெய்த் ப்ராக்டிசஸ் அண்ட் பிலீஃப்ஸ். தீஸ் ஆர் ஆல் taken out of the scripture. Why do we do what we do, what we believe, what we practice? It is written in a prepared on a booklet. We had copies that we used to give, but we ran out of copies. If you don't have one, you can reach out to Jason. He will be able to give you one. When it comes to that faith and practices, when it comes to the subject of Holy Spirit, this is what we wrote. With that, this is my conclusion and the summary. Copied from the ELBC, Faith, Beliefs and Practices. Listen carefully. The Holy Spirit is a divine person, eternal and possessing all the attributes of personality and deity. In all the divine attributes, He is co-equal with the Father and the Son. The unique work of the Holy Spirit in this age began on the day of Pentecost, when He came from the Father to initiate and complete the building of the body of Christ, the church. He is the sovereign agent in regeneration, baptizing all believers into the body of Christ. Every believer possesses the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit from the moment of salvation, and it is the duty of all believers to be filled with the Spirit. It is the duty of every believer to be filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit sanctifies, instructs, anoints, empowers for service and seals the believers unto the day of redemption. He administers spiritual gifts to the church through individuals. We studied about the spiritual gifts some time back, so I did not put that part in my study. He does give spiritual gifts to believers. He has given you something. Please identify and use it for His glory. Now we have come to the most important slide in my 6-month study, the end. You are happy that it finished. I hope this study was helpful, especially for today. And please don't take it lightly. Don't ignore the Spirit of God. Listen to Him day by day. Ask for His help when you have to make a decision. Ask for His help when you have to move from place to place, house to house, city to city. Wherever you have to go, it is not your choice, basically. You are under His yoke, and ask for His help. May the Lord bless our thoughts. Father, we thank You this morning. We rejoice that You have sent Your Holy Spirit in our hearts to guide us, help us, comfort us, and in all areas of love to teach us. That we thank You for these lessons that we are to look together. These are Your word, which is not ours. We pray that this may go deep into my heart and every one of ours in the days to come. That we may have a different outlook and submission and obedience to the Spirit of God going forth from today on. We pray for every one of us here. Remember many who are away and traveling. Some are sick. We pray for healing hands upon such God's people. Be with the rest of the day. We give You thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Whom all blessings flow, praise Him all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.